Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Smarks and Stripes Podcast. We cover every bump, every spot, and chat with all the talent around the world of wrestling. Here's your host, Bill Matz, former WWE referee Kevin Keenan, and Eric Golden.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of Smarts and Stripes. My name is Bill Matz. I am joined by Eric the Turtle Golden. What's up, Turtle?
I am just so excited for today's episode.
I'm excited for today's episode, too, because, man, I had a... When you know something's coming and you still mark out...
Oh, yeah.
Like, I watched WWE Backstage for the first time this morning in preparation. I've seen the clips and the highlight that we're going to talk about, but actually watched the show for the first time this morning, and that didn't stop me from when Cult of Personality hit, freaking the F out.
Like, so Renee had to have known, Obviously. Joe didn't know. Booker might have, but he didn't really react.
Booker really, you never know what Booker knows.
But Paige and Adam Cole had no idea.
That's if they were all in on it, they did a hell of a job putting it over.
Paige had no idea.
And of course, they introduced CM Punk on WWE television for the first time since the 2014 Royal Rumble. He was in there for like an hour, got eliminated by Kane, and we never saw him again. And we're going to get into Punk and this whole thing and what it could mean and really just speculate, because what's more fun than that as a wrestling fan looking at what could be?
Oh, yeah.
But first, I just want to talk to you about the show WWE Backstage. What an interesting concept.
Yeah.
Like, you knew Fox has a formula. Mm-hmm. The way they cover all their sports, there is a studio show. And when they signed the deal, there was talk of FS1's going to get one of these things. The line they are walking between pulling back the curtain and not is very, very interesting.
It's... I like the network for a lot of reasons. I'm going to just skip over the show for half a second. But I like the network because of that line they walk with the backstages and the 24s and the ride-alongs and all that stuff is...
The new table for three is great.
I didn't get to see that yet.
It's Bruce, Shane McMahon, and Johnny Ace, and it's great.
All that stuff, like, more so the ride-alongs. Like, the documentary-style stuff is really the behind-the-scenes stuff. But more so, like, the ride-alongs and the table for threes and stuff like that. It just walks that line so perfectly. And it's the mix of, are these people really like this? And they're really like this.
Yeah.
And I love it. And that's what Backstage is beginning to do. There's obviously a few little kinks here and there that they'll work out overall. But you're right. That line... It's been blurred, and it's so much fun.
They're using, like, they're saying, like, Booker's up there. They're talking about the love triangle storyline. And Booker's just up there being like, well, this angle, and, like, stuff like that. Like, they're talking about, you know, fans want it thrown back to the Attitude Era, and then they get this, and they're like, no, not this. It's like, well, yeah, we want Stone Cold, not Val Venus. Yeah. Like, that was something else. But I digress. The show is just really cool. It gets Renee in a setting where she's actually, like, this is what she's good at.
She's a star.
Yeah, she could be on any set in Canada, like TSN, Sportsnet, whatever. That's what she's great at.
They have to pay her so much money to keep her.
With Fox now and then this show, I have to imagine this is a big part of it. I know they didn't want to lose her. She even said on the show this week she hated doing commentary. She just didn't like it. She's not a commentator. But this is a great setting
and
for her.
And I don't even mind her, like, when they came back from Saudi Arabia and they had all the issues. Like, as a one-off or as a...
Yeah.
Oh no, somebody's ill. She's fine. Yeah. Like, I liked her better than she is.
Yeah.
But she is a studio.
I just like her. I think she's cool.
Well, yeah. She is, and every podcast she's ever on, she's my dream guest for this podcast.
Oh my. Did you see her tweeting during the Moxley match at AEW?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Cause that was effing brutal.
But even like that stuff these days, like, talk about blurring the lines, like,
yeah.
Cole tweeting about Britt Baker, Britt Baker tweeting about Cole, Renee Moxley, all these.
The other thing I liked about backstage was, like, all right, Samoa Joe is hurt. We're not getting him on TV. Oh, you know where we can use him? He's a great talker.
Yeah.
Let's put him, and he's not even playing a heel. He's just talking, and he's great at it.
Yeah.
I wondered if Samoa Joe had a future in this company as a commentator or something. Oh, he does.
Well,
certainly does.
He's better than Dio Madden.
I don't even know who these guys are on Raw still.
Like,
Jerry Lawler is not good, and he's the best on that show by far.
By leaps and
bounds. He's just like,
pounds.
I don't need my announcers to get over, but I do need them to have some sort of personality.
My favorite part of when they were in the announce team is when Brock put, what's it called, Dio Madden
through a table. That was awesome.
That was the best part of the announce team.
Dio's big.
Yeah.
He's a big dude.
I guess he's maybe...
I think he's hurt.
Corey Graves-ish and going down that path. But anyway, we digress again. Go on.
Yeah, it's just it's a fun show. It's a cool concept, I think. Like, you can use it to get a Samoa Joe on TV.
Yeah.
Hey, we know the character Adam Cole. People who are familiar with his work in New Japan or Ring of Honor are familiar with Adam Cole, but get to know him a little better as a guest on half this show.
Absolutely.
Awesome. The one thing I will complain about, though, Gabriel Iglesias, man, I know he's a celebrity fan. I just can't stand that guy.
I don't
He's
like...
He's so annoying.
Truthfully, most celebrity fans are annoying.
Yeah, that's true. Listen, that's true.
They're all just bad. Everything with the like, I'm gonna over Mike Trout at the game. Stop showing Mike Trout at Eagles games.
Yeah, that's because he's fake. But
yeah, but just like everything, like I'm over it all. Like, just move on from the celebrity fan. Nobody cares that they're there. You can't get access to them anyway. Move on.
Yeah, the idea of this promo school thing is interesting, but like, if I got to watch Gabriel Iglesias every week, guess what? I'm fast-forwarding through. But
absolutely,
this leads us to the final segment of the show where they basically just come back from commercial and they're doing their goodbyes. They're standing up on the set, and the set is it's a cool set in the ring and everything. But Renee sets it up, you know, WWE, we love to do the big moments, the unforgettable moments, and we're going to do them here on Backstage 2, and counts it down, and then Punk's music hits.
Chills.
And it's like the end of a very long road to get back here, because, listen, I really do believe he got off on the idea of being the only one who never came back. Like, Ultimate Warrior came back, Hogan came back, NWA, like, everybody comes back eventually. Macho never did. He died. He probably would have. But everybody eventually comes back except Punk. I think he really liked that. And
till now.
But he does have the cover of he was hired by Fox and not WWE. But the thing is called WWE Backstage, and let's not kid each other. Do you think if Vince or Hunter or whoever didn't sign on this, it would be happening?
Oh, yeah.
Let's not kid ourselves.
There's no more fooling. He will be back in a WWE ring within the next 18 months.
But I want to go all the way back. When was the first time you saw CM Punk?
What was it? He was the new Nexus was the first time I really, really got to know him. Like, I'm sure I saw him beforehand. He was the leader of the new Nexus, right?
Yeah. What the hell was... Yeah, the...
Well, whatever.
The Straight Edge Society?
The core.
Whatever,
Whatever. His stable was the first time I really got to see him really work and really be like that heel, leader, bully kind of guy. And there's a... I can't forget which Royal Rumble it is, but there's a Royal Rumble where it's like him and Bray Wyatt came out. It was Husky Harris at the time.
Yeah.
And like Knockoff Batista was in it and all that. And it was just the five of them, and Jericho came out, was like the next guy, and he just drops to his knees and he's like, holy crap, now I actually have to do something here.
Like,
that was my intro to him. What was yours?
My buddies hate it because I always say I discovered CM Punk. Obviously, I didn't freaking discover CM Punk. But I, like, when he was finishing up at Ring of Honor is when I really started to get into him. He had some matches with Samoa Joe there. He had a trilogy of matches with Joe in Ring of Honor that, if you've never seen them, Joe vs. Punk 2, I think to this day, is still their number one selling DVD of all time. And that's the first time I saw him. It was like that thing got released on DVD and the entire internet wrestling community like rushed to go freaking buy it. And then getting that, and now I have like a trilogy pack of their matches.
Cool.
But that's really when it was. And then when they're finishing up, in Ring of Honor, they're both free agents at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at it, everyone's like, well, Joe, he's big and he can talk and all this stuff, so we think he fits more in WWE. And Punk, he's a great worker, but his look and just everything about him, he seems like a TNA guy. Like, right. And then it goes the other way. Punk gets signed to WWE, Joe goes to TNA. It's like, I really wanted to go them to go somewhere together to sure. keep this thing going. But Punk ends up in OVW, and he's there for a while, and we've heard all the stories, like, WWE just didn't like him. They're like, no, he's arrogant, and he's not as good as he thinks he is, and he's just going to stay in OVW until his contract expires, and then we're going to kick him out. And then Paul Heyman shows up in OVW. And suddenly, CM Punk is a featured part of that show and finally, eventually works his way up to the new ECW. And that's really when it got, like, I saw one of his first dark matches. It was the second or third ECW show that they taped in Philly when that just relaunched on Sci-Fi.
Oof.
And he worked.
By the way, anyway, go on.
But it was the night Big Show beat RVD for the title because RVD had to go away for smoking weed in a car. And Punk works a dark match, and he was the most over part of the show till the main event. Like, everybody freaking loved him. It was such a damn big deal to get to see him at a WWE ring. He debuts on TV shortly after, and I'm always bummed about it because I, like, got out of wrestling, like, 08 to 2012, and that's really where he had his run. Like, yeah. I was this original Punk fan and then never really got to see it reach its absolute height. And that always was kind of a bummer.
It's weird. Like, you say you got out of wrestling for that period of time. I ebbed and flowed with it, like, constantly. Like, there'd be months where I would get every taping in and every pay-per-view out of order. And there'd be months where I would go 6, 7, 8 months in a row. I don't need to watch it, or I'm going to go play hockey, or I'm going to go do this, yeah. that, and the third. So when we talk about stuff like this overall, it's interesting to see people's perspectives because you miss so much with it being on every single week and
yeah.
pay-per-view once a month and sometimes another takeover and this, that, and the third. And it's just like, I didn't even remember that ECW dark match.
Yeah.
But no, I remember the Big Show beating the RVD.
Yeah, and that was,
It's so weird to hear, but it's so interesting, and it just... It's good to see him back overall.
It really is. Of course, he has the run, eventually makes it up to the main roster, is like mid-card status for a while, and then has that 400-plus day run as champion. And it's crazy because he's champ for 400 days, and like John Cena versus Johnny Ace is still headlining pay-per-views while he's like second or yep. third. He's like in the middle of the card as champ. But he works all the way up until you see it coming, especially when Cena wins the Rumble. You know that Rock's winning that title. He takes the Rock takes the title off of Punk, and that's really where it starts. That's where the fall of CM Punk starts. He loses the title to the Rock. The Rock and Cena too. Obviously, that's going to headline Mania. Punk wanted nothing more than to headline a WrestleMania. That's always what it was about for him. Gets a match with Undertaker. It's freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
But he loses. He moves on through the summer. We see him break up with Paul Heyman. Eventually feuds with Brock Lesnar. Big feud. Awesome match. But he loses. And that kind of just is the way it keeps going. He's in this thing with him and Daniel Bryan have a little faction, kind of. It's those two against the authority. And that's really where it starts to head. That CM Punk's like, I'm getting pushed out of this picture by Daniel Bryan, but the product's good. So he's dealing with it. And then the Daniel Bryan stuff starts to happen where, oh, yeah, he's going to be in a he's not going to get a title match at Mania, but he'll be in a match with Triple H. Well, CM Punk was supposed to have the match with Triple H, and that's a big one. So he's going to be feuding with Kane. Like I said, he's in that Royal Rumble 2014 for about an hour. He's in there a long time. Kane is like hiding after he gets eliminated, pulls Punk out of the ring. Punk's eliminated. That's supposed to kick off their feud, except it doesn't. Because CM Punk stopped showing up to work the next day. Well, I think he showed up and said, I'm not doing this shit, and then left. And he hasn't been seen since. And what we've seen since is he wants to get into MMA. He's in a lawsuit over what he said on Colt Cabana's podcast where they talk shit on the doctors. It has been a crazy road to get back here. Like that law, like he's still in a lawsuit with Colt Cabana. They're suing each other over who should have to pay for all the court costs and stuff.
Yeah.
They were best friends.
Not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. And now we're here, and CM Punk, after 5 years, 5.5 years, he's back on WWE TV.
Yep.
This has to lead to speculation that he's going to wrestle again.
Well, the only way he doesn't wrestle again is if he's not physically able to. That's just my bottom line. I don't care when it is. I'm going 18 months. It could be longer. Maybe he still needs to be won over. Maybe he still goes on podcasts a lot and he talks about, quote, getting that bag from whoever wants to pay him to do whatever it is.
Yeah.
Maybe they still need to come up a couple million or a couple hundred thousand or whatever. Or maybe it's a Saudi Arabia show where the prince or the king go in and say, here's a Brinks truck full of money. We want him here now. He will be back.
I wonder, like, I can see him going, I don't care about the money. And maybe he doesn't. Maybe he is CM Punk. Like, this is who this guy is. Like, singers from Rancid and H2O are in his freaking documentary that WWE put out. This is who this guy is. But I do wonder, have you seen the Raw ratings?
Mm-hmm.
They are bad. I wonder how long it goes until Vince just is like,
here's
here you go. And that's... Like, Moxley talked on in his interviews that he did after he left. Like, he had to, when he made up his mind that he wasn't going to say yes, like, because they were going to do everything in their power to get him to say yes, and it was just his belief that I can't do it. He had to, in his mind, say, what if they offer me $10 million bucks? Obviously, it's not going to be $10
million. Right.
But he was like, what
there's
if they,
a number in
what
mind.
If they offer me $10 million? Do I do it? And he's like, I had to convince myself, no, I'm going to say no matter what.
Right.
I wonder if that's where Punk is or if enough time has passed. Because he's got it, like, I realize he's not Austin. He's not The Rock. He's not one of those guys. But in the next tier down, man, that's one of the biggest returns ever. And everything that's happened makes it bigger. It's not just about who he was during his time here. It's about everything that's happened in these last 5 years, too.
You're right. Like, could he have some kind of thing in his head like Moxley did? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it, no matter what they say. Maybe. And maybe this is just his way to say, fine, I'll give you a little something, and that's it. But
you have to believe there's a number that would make him do it.
And WWE, at some point, or Saudi Arabia or Canada or whatever show they're getting paid to put in whatever city in whatever
I'd
country.
I'd be shocked
town,
if he did a Saudi show.
I would tend to agree too, but what we know that the government and the royalty over there just throw money at people and say, we want you.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot
There's
of
a
people.
Number.
A lot of people have principles until they see the number.
Correct. I just have to believe. And especially with the way he said it, when people think they have the answers, he changes the culture.
Oh, my. Using the Roddy Piper line, I was just like, dude, I was just freaking out in my house half an hour ago.
We watched
great.
A clip here right before we started this podcast.
Yeah.
I've probably watched that clip 50 times. He's coming back.
He has to.
He is coming back. Why go halfway? If you are that dead set working for WWE, why go halfway?
Like, you're here.
Yeah.
Like, you're here. There's a whether you of course you have the cover of you work for Fox, not WWE.
But you're talking about WWE.
They played your goddamn music.
And you reveled in it.
Yeah, like, they played your music. You're with WWE superstars. The logo's everywhere. The show is called WWE Backstage. I'm sorry, bro. You work for WWE, whether you want to admit it or not.
Yes.
And so that gets us to the fun part. Say it's one match. Who do you want to see?
Ooh. Well, we already know Seth, quote-unquote, threw out a challenge to him on Twitter.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'd want it to be Seth.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I would have said Seth.
I don't want it to be Brock. I could see it being a Daniel Bryan. I know you would love a Samoa Joe thing.
That's my answer, Samoa Joe. Or that's we never. I wanted to see. We got Punk Brian a couple of times, and it was really good. We never got, like, I want to see those two for 45-plus minutes.
Oh, yeah.
That's the sidebar. The Adam Cole talking about his match with Brian, and, like, Cole had to put his boots on in the plane and, like, had just showed up, and he's sitting there, and they're talking to the agent, and Brian's like, let me go 60 minutes with Adam Cole. And he's like, I just got here. How great is Daniel Bryan? He just wants to wrestle.
Yeah.
But and, that's, so one match for you.
Maybe it's Adam Cole.
That's a great. Like anybody in NXT is interesting.
The more
like,
I
Walter
watch him,
is interesting.
I don't know. I don't love Walter.
I don't
Walter's
love
good.
Him, but it would be an incredible match with Punk.
But I'm just talking about similar styles, similar techniques.
Cole would be really good.
Maybe it's Adam Cole.
Yeah.
The more I watch him, and especially the more I watch him with, not that he was never not wrestling elite talent, but I'm very much a WWE first and only guy. So the more I see him with the people down in NXT, and the more I see him. Like, he went, whatever. I don't know how long the match with Brian was, but he won over Brian clean. I thought Brian
that was incredible.
Easily crush him.
That was an incredible match.
It
like,
was my,
the
what,
Seth
might be
match,
my match of the year.
Yeah, the Seth match was fine. The Brian match, I forgot that Daniel Bryan is still that good.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't been a featured player for a little bit. He's been around and doing good work.
He's now a face.
Yeah, so. I guess he's a good guy now. He's not
but,
like
but no yes chance.
He's
though,
not fully
that.
Doing the yes, but he is like coming
he's,
down, like pumped
doing,
up.
It,
he's not
weird.
Just walk. It's he's a tweener right now. He doesn't really have a character.
I'm thinking Adam Cole might be my guy.
Cole is a good one. I'm trying to think of anyone else in NXT I'd love to see because my answer is Joe because I just want to see it on the big stage.
I knew
stage.
That going into the question.
Yeah,
here,
I want to see it on the big stage. Brian is a close second. Anyone in like.
Like,
I guess Gargano,
like Dream or
Ciampa.
Gargano.
Dream would be interesting. They could do a like, the program with Dream or Ciampa would be awesome.
Like very straight edge versus very flamboyant and out there Dream.
Yeah, the program could be real good there. Trying to think of any legends. Like obviously the Dream match is always Austin, but he's never going to wrestle again.
I don't know about that either.
I just don't think he can.
I think he'll get one more in. And it'll be a terrible match.
Yeah,
it'll
that's the, like, I just think now.
But it'll be punch, punch, stomp a mud hole, Fez press, stunner,
I
end.
I feel like he's just now at the point where he, like, his ring work was so good. Even after the injuries and stuff, he was crisp. When he wasn't doing a lot, it still looked good. I can't imagine it's going to be anything close to a Stone Cold Steve Austin match at this point.
Probably not, but I would still pop for it.
Oh, listen, I need to see his entrance. If he's just in there doing a couple of spots and then calling
when
it
he
a
came
day.
For the Raw thing he came for most recently, I popped for that. I knew he was coming. They said he was going to be next. I still blew my mind.
Yeah, when his music hits, I'm going to be excited. That's just the way it is.
There's two of them. There's him, well, I guess three now that
Punk
I remember
now,
Punk.
Yeah.
Him and The Rock.
Yeah.
They told me The Rock was going to be there. They told me The Rock. They showed me The Rock was there. And then the second he came out, I was all about it.
I'm trying to think. Like, any other old heads? Triple H? Because the program? What the program could be?
The program would be fun, but I'm kind of overseeing Triple H wrestle right now.
I like to see him once. I like to see him once a year. He's going to get his Mania payday once a year.
Yeah.
Good for him. The match is usually decent.
Well, who's it going to be this year?
Batista notwithstanding.
Since he's the authority figure invading everything. It's not going to be Vince.
Yeah.
And Shane's gone.
Yeah. Who's around? Who's the champ going to be? Like, ooh, is it?
Better be Bray still.
Yeah. Him and Brock, we've seen that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Or did he just skip Mania?
Did we go, does he skip Mania? Absolutely not does he skip Mania. Come on, that payday? Jesus.
I would never skip Mania in that payday.
Punk and Bray.
That'd be cool.
Would be interesting. Just like.
Super straight edge versus the
two guys,
insanely weird.
Two guys who just like, they should throw the writers out of the room. Like,
just let him go.
Sorry, guys. We got this one. Block off. Just tell them how much time you need. That's it for their segments. That could be a lot of fun. Man.
I don't know.
What do you think Punk's ultimate... Like, where's he gonna... What's his role gonna be 2 years from now? Is he still gonna be around the company?
I don't imagine he came back for, like, a quick one-off. if that was the case, just do one a match and that's that. But you came back for a show that you're part of a rotating panel on, which means you have interest in getting into the business. Maybe he transitions into a commentary role. He'd be good at commentary.
He'd be outstanding at commentary.
Maybe he does that and gets a little physical every now and then. Sort of like old school Michael Cole-ish.
Mm-hmm. That's like...
throw on the wrestling headgear.
Yeah,
like
I'm thinking of Macho when he's on the announce desk.
Yeah.
And the thing is, man, I love Macho and I love his promos. When I see him, I want to see him wrestle. And like, does Punk want to constantly
hear
like, hey man, when are you getting back in the ring? He's like, I'm a commentator. He's hearing it nonstop anyway.
Somebody wrote that line for him, or he wrote it for himself coming out there. Just when they think they have all the answers, I change the culture. That says a lot to me. He's telling people, in my mind...
And it references... Go ahead.
He's telling people, in my mind, you think you know what I'm going to do? Bleep you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you what I want to do.
And it also references a guy who left and came back multiple times, Roddy Piper, so there's a little bit of that. I'm very excited to see where this could go.
I would watch that clip 100 times. It was so much fun.
Do you think he's ever back full-time in the ring?
I don't, but I could see him being a...
What if he comes back for a Mania payday every year?
That's fine.
He's involved from Rumble to Mania.
Done.
And that's it.
I don't think he wants to wrestle full-time, because if he really wanted to wrestle full-time, there's countless places he could have gone to enjoy the business.
That's if he really just wanted to be a wrestler.
Right.
He
would make a crap ton of money somewhere.
Yeah, it's not like the cons wouldn't have been like, here you go.
Yeah.
Guess what we're going to do? $1.5 million on TV this week. So. Yeah.
Whether it's AEW, ROH, New Japan, MLW, ECW... ABC, he could have gone somewhere.
He could have gone anywhere to be a wrestler.
To be a wrestler.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he wants to be a full-time wrestler. But I think he's finally over it all, clearly. I don't care what he says, but I work for Fox. No. You're on a WWE TV show talking about WWE superstars, breaking down WWE matches and WWE storylines.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate on the guy's personal life because, like, I don't know, none of us know Punk. Maybe Kevin does a little, but... I think the thing with Colt Cabana, like, Punk's a loyal guy to his pals, and that's a dude who's been his best friend for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been eye-opening. Like, this whole thing is just a business.
Yeah.
And nobody looks at it more that way than Vince.
No,
Vince doesn't care.
And honestly, aside from, like,
Vince does business with Saudi Arabia. Yeah.
Aside from, like, legal, whatever. Business is business.
Yeah.
I'm never going to... If I had a multi-billion dollar business and Saudi Arabia called me up to do whatever I do, it'd be a stupid business not to do it.
Yeah, obviously.
As long as it's all legal and morally, to the most part, correct.
Yeah, sure. I'm just... If he's...
We both are sitting here right now.
I'm thinking of so many possibilities. Yeah.
Thinking of what Punk could do.
Like...
Hearing that music... Like, you know what arena... You guys are going to SmackDown. Unfortunately, I can't make it this Friday, but you guys are going to SmackDown. Imagine the reaction the Wells Fargo Center
would be. I'm
going to
lose my mind.
If Cult of Personality, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do plays, you would fall out of your seat, run down to the ring and hug the guy.
I would lose my mind if he came out in Philly on Friday. That would just be freaking incredible. I'd like... He's back now, so you have time to talk him into something, and he has time to be like, I'll come back if I headline WrestleMania.
Yeah,
like, fine. Say whoever's the champ at Mania, Punk wins the Rumble, and he doesn't even have to go over, just like it's him and Seth, him and Roman in the last match.
Him and Roman would be good.
Him and Roman would be real good.
Listen.
Based on what he did with Taker, because he can sell and like his offense works against bigger guys.
I've been a much more bigger fan of Roman recently. Like, he just put over Baron.
Roman's great when they don't treat him like Super Cena, because that's not who he is.
Well, that's the one thing I hate about wrestling in general. There's always that Superman, Super Cena, whether it's The Rock. Every now and then somebody's got to lose. You can't just have Non-title match, fine, whatever. You can't just have John Cena come in and win 800 matches in a row and expect people not to turn on him.
That's it's impossible to get sympathy on a babyface if everyone knows he's going to win.
Every single match.
You know what they did with Shawn Michaels when it was like, oh, everyone knows he's winning because he's the face? They put Psycho Sid over on him so that you could get sympathy for him. Like, it just, I just watched that event too. I just watched Survivor Series 96.
In general, just. Listen, he's coming back.
Yeah.
He is.
He has to.
Well, you can't do it.
Why come back halfway?
That's the point.
Why would you leave people this freaking.
Unless he's just
that big of a dick?
Yeah.
Good for it. Like, my God, what a heel. What a freaking heel if he's that big of an asshole.
But, let's break down the video for a half a second. We can't play it, but let's just break down the video. You hear it. He comes out. He looks both ways. You see him soaking
it in. He didn't do clobber in time, though. I was surprised by that.
Because there's no crowd.
I know.
He's not playing anybody.
I know.
But even then, he's soaking it in. He breathes. I'm here. Hops in the ring with a little gusto.
I can't, It'll just be a great moment for him when, like, next week he's going to be on the show. This was episode 4, I think, and it was their highest rated episode. I can't wait to see the rating double for next week's backstage and him just, like, sitting there with his feet up on a desk going, I wasn't a draw, huh? I wasn't a draw back then. We had to have Cena in the main event, even though I was champ.
Hear what he's got to say.
I would love to be sitting at the kitchen table with him and AJ Lee, just as he's like eating dinner, laughing.
Like, we showed them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. All time low rating on Raw. Their little studio show just doubled because I showed up.
I keep saying it, but we both sit here. Just like with stars in our eyes, just like dreaming of what could be.
It seemed like, and when he got the tryout, it was like, all right, yeah, it was just a tryout. His agent set it up, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then we heard like he's going to be a part of the show. Like, that's the thing. This was a huge surprise, but everyone knew he got the job.
Except you didn't know when he was showing up.
Yeah, you didn't know. A couple episodes go by, you haven't seen him. I was like, because they're advertising everyone else. So I'm like, oh, I wonder what Punk's role on this show is. I hadn't watched it yet, and nothing. And then
now.
You see the freaking clip. Like, I didn't watch the show. I saw the clip online. It was like, oh, my God, I have to watch the show.
That's exactly how it worked.
And now I'm a viewer. Like, I DVR the show every week. So,
I am all in on it. Like,
if he could do one thing, what do you want it to be?
Mania headline versus Cole.
Versus Cole. That's...
I've been such a big fan of Adam Cole recently. I love everything about him.
What if it's the takeover before Mania?
Listen, go to NXT. I prefer that.
What if he shows up? Oh, my God. That would be hilarious.
Go to NXT,
He went to NXT.
Him and generic guy Balor Velveteen Dream and everything.
Balor's a bad guy now. And
he's still a generic guy.
Yeah. He's not smiling as much, though.
But he's still doing his weird little hand thing.
Yeah, well, he's going to do that. That's him. You know, I thought they were alluding to like a Bullet Club sort of thing when he... when he attacked Gargano because it was Undisputed Era in the ring, but no such luck.
Well, they did it again when AJ did all that too, and they're like, a little too sweet, and then nothing.
Nothing. Maybe they'll wait till War Games or something.
Yeah.
Everyone comes together.
Did you see NXT this week, by the way?
This week. It was last night, so
last
no.
Night. Okay.
No.
I'm curious. There was an attack. I'm curious to know who you believe the attack was.
Oh, okay. I love whodunits.
Yeah.
Like, I know ran over Stone Cold was terrible, like, because it ended up being Rikishi, but I still loved it.
By the way, it was 10 times better than who's attacking Roman Reigns.
Oh, well, that was just dumb.
Roman's
not a good actor.
I think I know who did it, and I think I like the way this will go.
I'll have to check that out.
Check that out.
I haven't seen NXT or AEW. I did nothing.
I didn't get
a chance
to see AEW.
Flyers
I saw
played.
The end of NXT, and the whodunit was,
Punk is back, though, man.
Yeah, like, he is.
I can't wait for Keenan's reaction, because Keenan is not a CM Punk fan.
Which is just weird.
Oh, Keenan's nuts.
King
is
weird.
He's a lunatic.
Yeah. Yeah. He's our insider.
Yeah, he's our insider. So I'm looking forward to that.
Absolutely.
What is that it? Is that all we
That's
have?
That's it. Yeah. It's a CM Punk show.
I know neither of us watched Raw, so we can't talk about that.
Well, I did not watch Raw, but it was CM Punk show. We should keep this as a CM Punk show because when you think they have all the answers, we change the culture.
Absolutely. And that's all the time we have for you on Smarks and Stripes this week. Hope to see you at SmackDown on Friday, the 15th in Philly. That's this Friday. We're going to be there. It's going to be a great time. Hope to see you there. For Keenan, for Turtle, my name is Bill Matz. Have a great week, everybody.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.